Let me, you and I can do nothing without the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
Okay? So when I'm preaching, teaching this different stuff about serving and going out and doing things, don't worry about yourself because you can't do it anyway.
Amen.
Okay? You got to have the Lord with you. You got to have the blood of Christ wash your way, get in that Holy Spirit lead you. That's free. That's not the sermon. God laid that on my heart, amongst some other things. We'll be out here an hour or two, so don't worry. let me start with this. A man stranded on an island. You know, ready for this? For 5 years. Was finally rescued one day. So the guy that rescued him noticed he had built three huts. He asked him what they were for. The man said, well, one's my house. He said, okay, I understand that. He said, the other one's my church. He said, oh, okay, I understand that. That's a good deal. But what's the third one? He said, that's the church I used to go to. All right. Finally. I'm gonna absorb the moment for a minute. I don't get too many laughters too much, unless it's laughing at me. All right. We have started. Matter of fact, Daryl, will you please throw up Matthew 28 that I had? Y'all turn to Romans chapter 6. That's where we're going to be at. But I want to touch something on Matthew. The Great Commission. Y'all know, a lot of y'all know about the Great Commission. If you was here, you should, because you was here last week. That's what we preached on. So God has led me. Oh, by the way, so you know, I say this loosely. You know, this is Holy Week because all the activities we got coming up through the week. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you and stuff. If you will, I call it Holy Week. If you do the best effort you can to attend all this stuff we're gonna do this week, you will see you get a great blessing.
Amen.
And not because of me. But it's just because of obedience to Christ and what He's providing for you.
Amen.
You know, my favorite word is saturate yourself with the word of the Lord. And so we are providing some services this week that takes care of most of the days of the week.
Amen. Yeah.
So what about the other days?
Come on.
You need to do something.
Amen.
Okay? Do not sit and be idle and wait for something to come to you. You be proactive in your Christian walk. You be proactive. Go out there. Make something happen. Make something happen.
Amen.
Don't be idle. So that's my soapbox. I gave you a free sermon a while ago. Now that's my soapbox. Now let's get back to Matthew 28. So last week, you know, we therefore go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Key word today is baptism. Them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the Great Commission. Has been dubbed the Great Commission. Send His disciples out. That's us today, disciples. Say what it says do. Just go. Don't promise you're going to come back.
Amen.
Just go. Obedience. And last week we talked more on the specifics of it. We touched base on what does that look like for us, right? So God has led me down this path here late through, you know, it says go. So, I can sit here and preach. I preached on this before. On Matthew 28 to go. But what does go look like? Okay? And so that's why last week I hit on the specifics and what that looks like for you and I. And if y'all remember, I'm not going to rehash all that. But today I'm going to focus on Matthew 28 on the baptizing part. You notice it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. It don't say the preacher baptizing them. It don't say a priest. It says, go, disciples. Y'all, you can baptize.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? But we're going to talk, what is baptism? And so, if you know, I catch myself a lot assuming things, that you may know things, but not everybody knows everything, obviously. I don't. But So we're going to talk about baptism, what baptism really is, what it really looks like, and why we should do it. Okay? And I just tell you, I'm going to give you the end result here. Baptism does not save you. Okay? Hold that thought. And then, you know, I'm talking about saturate yourself and do all this stuff. And even me, you know, I do a lot of studying and stuff to prepare and all that stuff. You as a Christian, you and I as a Christian, you never know who you're going to influence.
Amen.
Just by not preaching to them necessarily, but just in conversation.
Right.
And so family members, well, what they say and what they do.
Amen.
And I'm saying that because what I'm preaching about today, I heard it through somebody else. Not the sermon, but the ideal, right? And so I built a sermon around it because God then come back in and said, remember what that person said? It was somebody in this church. I'm not going to name names. That's fine. Ain't no secret, but I heard it and I thought about it for a minute. A week later, God says, hey, guess what? This is what you're going to baptize. And I am happy to say today that this sermon today was prepared 6 weeks ago. I thought I was going to do it 6 weeks ago. Obviously, I didn't. God had other plans and waiting for the right moment and the right timing. Some of the hardest things you'll do as a Christian is being patient and waiting on what God, when and where God tells you to do it.
Come on.
That can be tough. I know. I'm dealing with this. I was so ready to get this out there, but God told me to put the brakes on. And I did. And I just obeyed. I was nothing special. I obeyed. And I said, okay, Lord. And now I see the big picture now at this moment why he wanted me to hold this. So here we go. Romans 6, 3 through 4. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ, notice that word baptized. Let me start over. Or don't you know that all of us, that's Christians, all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into his death, in order that, just as Christ raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. All right, I've been saying, we got to hear some amen on that one.
And
his work. Yes. He did it every bit of it for us. Don't never lose focus on your walk with Christ, that because of him, you had that walk with Christ. If you don't have that walk with Christ, we'll talk about that here in a little while. Y'all, you need to get there. Today's the day of salvation. Don't put it off no longer.
Amen.
No longer.
Because
you ain't guaranteed, most of y'all know, and dealt with situations where you don't know how much time you got.
Amen.
Don't gamble with eternity.
Yeah.
Go all in on eternal life.
Amen.
All right. So that's my Matthew 28 and Romans 6, 4. So the mandate. So let's break down baptism. We're going to focus on baptism. Okay, the mandate and the commission of it. You notice, you know what commission means? I can relate to it. Josh can relate to it. Those of us that's been law enforcement. We get our authority through a commission as peace officers. Okay? We got our authority to go and baptize and do all this stuff through Christ by his authority.
Amen.
Through him. Okay? So that's what commission means, the Great Commission. So Jesus commands, not suggest, his followers to go and make disciples. Okay? And we talked about that last week, if you remember. And I know that not everybody was here last week, but that's okay. Just a quick version of it, just go and make disciples. Any way that looks to you, don't look at being a missionary. Don't look at being a preacher. Just simply phone calls, caring for somebody. Hey, how you doing today?
Amen.
That's all working in Christ. That's all that matters. Pray for people.
Yep.
So he commands us to go and make disciples. Then he's talking about baptizing them, okay? And we'll get to the point where why we do the baptism. And the name, you know, I base everything, well, not everything, we should base everything out of the Bible. I call them the two threes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
Okay?
Come on.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Showing it, it shows it's a core practice of all nations. All nations starts in your back door, front door, whatever, your community. That's a nation. That's part of the nation.
Amen.
I got two friends right now that's in Nepal doing a missionary trip. I've been praying for them because they got some stuff going on over there. It's not necessarily a 100% safe trip. And they needed some encouragement.
Amen.
But they obeyed. They got on the airplane. I hadn't talked to them since they got there. I hope they're still okay. And they'll be back next week, or should be. So that's their calling. That's what they're called to do. Not all of us are called to go to Nepal or anywhere else. But you are called right here. From the time you wake up, the time you go to bed, you should be Christ-like.
Amen.
And y'all know what Christ-like is because I preached that too. If you wasn't here, go back and look on the Facebook. Y'all can laugh. Okay. I need to stop while I'm ahead. I had a funny joke a while ago. I don't need to mess it up. I'm trying to say something else. Baptism is not optional. It's command.
That's right.
It's a command. It follows discipleship. Belief comes first. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to become a disciple, and then you do what He commands in baptism. Okay, we'll talk about that. It follows this. I already read that. It's called Acts 2:38. Tells us Peter tells people to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and receiving the Holy Spirit, highlighting the urgency. Urgency. What does that mean? Right now. Time. I don't care if you live to be 120.
Come on.
That's not even, you can't even compare that to the eternal destination that everybody's going to one way or the other.
Right.
And stuff. You need to make sure you're going to the eternal life, not the eternal death. So the urgency, get baptized after you accept Christ. And baptism, here's the key word, the whole deal about baptism. It's about obedience. Because God tells you to do it. If you know nothing else about it, if you know no details about it, just know that because I'm doing it because God told me to. And you'll be okay. You can build off of that. Good enough. His word, His true word, every bit of it from the Genesis to Revelation and everything in between is the truth. It's there. Every bit of it's in there. So that's the mandate, why we do it. The symbolism and meaning. Okay, so Jesus died on the cross. I got some notes, but we can do it. Oakhurst 101 here. So we can relate. All right. Why did Jesus die on the cross? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. Okay? He died on the cross because you and I couldn't do it to cover our sins.
Amen.
To cover our sins. So that's the death. Get rid of the sin. He got buried to get buried and to come back up resurrection because to defeat death.
Amen.
Okay? So baptism. Have y'all seen me do it? Y'all seen other preachers do it? A bunch of people do it. You take the person. I'll just ad-libbing. I'm not going to go into great detail. The death, burial under the water, rise back up a new life.
Born again.
Born again. That's born again. That's how that compares and relates to what Christ did for us. He tells us to do it, I think, for a big reason, just like why we do the Lord's Supper, so we won't forget.
Yeah.
We don't forget what He did for us.
Right.
We won't forget He died for us and bring us back. Death and sin, a new life. Immersion symbolizes dying to the old sinful life. being buried with Christ, rising to a new resurrection. You can find that in Romans and Colossians, if y'all want some references. Baptism into his death, buried with him, and then raised to a new life with him. Amen. Notice all with him, for him. We got to have that partner.
Amen.
For lack of better words, a partner. We got to have him because he done it for us. Washing and cleansing represents the washing away of the sins and spiritual purification. Spiritual purification. Take all that junk, all that stuff that you had prior, wash it all away. Now that happens when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. His blood does it for you. This represents that you acknowledge that and that you make an announcement, hey, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And by the way, you should be happy for that.
Amen.
You should be joyful, cheerful.
Amen. Right.
Because without him, without it, you're going to eternal hell. Death. Bottom line. It's a union with Christ. The closer you get to Christ, the better off you are. Y'all know that, right? The more you study, the more you get in His Word. That's why I put emphasis on this week. Not just this week, but any time. It should be every week. And so if you don't have to be in a church building or a Bible study to have that time with Christ.
Amen.
You do need that. I'm going on next week's sermon. You got to have that personal relationship, that time alone. All this stuff is important. It is.
Amen.
To learn, to study, you know, but you also got to have that one-on-one time.
Amen.
That one-on-one time. A believer becomes unified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. He threw all that junk away. Just look at Romans, what we read earlier, key verse. What Paul wrote it, done away with it. We got that reunion with him. It's a new covenant. A lot of people don't like this word, I was going to say. But it's a new covenant and ownership. Nobody wants, you know, nobody owns me. If Christ don't own you, you're in trouble. Because if you want to or not, by default, if you don't have Christ, Satan has you, and you're going to go to hell. So you make a choice of who you want to belong to.
Amen.
It's not an option. You know, we got free will. We can do what we want to do.
Amen.
To a certain point.
Yeah.
Then it's all going to come crashing down.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't accept Christ. It signifies a break from the old life and becoming property of Christ under new management. Let that sink in a minute. Like I said, you know, look, these are words we don't, you know, as Americans especially, we don't like the bondage and slave. No, we don't like that. But I want to tell you something. If you belong to Christ and you truly saturate yourself with Him and get close to Him, you will want nothing else.
Come on.
Nothing else.
Right.
Matter of fact, you want to thrive to do more for Him. Not that you can outwork Christ. You can't do it. But you can have fun trying.
Amen.
You can have fun trying. And it's all about obedience. That's the thing. Here's another word. There's a word I do like. Y'all should like. Baptism represents transformation. That word is a big word meaning a total change. I heard a preacher last year, y'all went to the revival, our brother John McDonald said he compared it to the movie Transformers or the cartoon.
Yeah.
They go from a robot to a truck.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You accept Christ and follow Christ, you can be different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can be different. Not saying that, you know, I'm still the same John. You know, I got my quirks and stuff, you know, I always will. But your focus is Christ.
Amen.
Then the rest of it kind of falls around you. What he says in Matthew, put me first, put the kingdom of God first, and the rest of it comes in play. 633, thank you. So the purpose and importance of it is a public declaration, a public testimony of one's faith in Jesus and commitment to Him. Those who believe were baptized, and that's in Acts. Now, I know what you're thinking. I'm glad y'all good today, y'all attentive. I know what you're asking. What about the thief on the cross? He didn't get baptized, so why do I got to get baptized? Right. He was in the actual presence of the Lord and Savior. He had him with him. And we know, everybody in here probably knows the story of people getting saved on their deathbed.
Oh, yeah. Been there.
Right. But as long as you're walking this earth, and you got time before he takes you away, get baptized.
That's it. Be obedient.
Be obedient. Mm-hmm. It's an evidence of faith. Remember, I like that word evidence. Josh, I know I'm picking on you a lot. He's a cop, too. You know, I'm not going to arrest you unless I have evidence. I can't arrest you no more, so don't worry. I'm done. I transformed from that. Police to preaching. All right, evidence of faith, an outward sign. You ready for this? Of an inward belief. Outward sign of an inward belief is all starts right here in your heart and your soul. And then, just like we talked last week, you should walk and be Christ-like, the evidence for everybody to know that you are a Christian. Not to show off, but to influence.
Amen.
And reach people for Christ.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. We need to pull them in. We can't. There's a whole... How many times I told you all this? We can all get up right now and walk out these doors either way and just split off. And you can find a lost person in a few minutes.
Amen.
And start witnessing to people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or, what we're supposed to do, go out in the world. What about the needy? We got people that's in need. We got people sick. We got people can't get out of the house. We got people that just going through some bad times. We need to, bare minimum, we need to pray for them. And that's probably what we're going to talk about next week, is what prayer really looks like. Maybe. You know how God, you know, He likes to play with me. He likes to, you know, 6 weeks in the making, make me study more. And then, yeah. Well, matter of fact, let me take a pause there for a second. I told y'all that I get influence from other people, you know, and stuff. I got one just a couple days ago that's a good sermon. So I started researching it. And stuff. Have you ever thought, and let me give you a little glimpse. It might be a year before you get this. I don't know. I'll let Christ work that out. You ever thought about the lost sheep? You ever thought about the 99? You know, we talk about he goes after the one lost sheep. What about the 99? Let that sink in. Let that sink in. About the 99. I mean, it's important to talk about the one sheep. But the 99 is something totally different. But Christ is still there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, anyway. Is that a commercial break? What you call that? Okay. Back on track. Baptism is an outward expression of inward faith. We talked about that. It's an identification with the church. You know, we don't say a church. It says the church. What is the church? Y'all know. There you go. I'm almost getting to a point where a lot of stuff I ain't got to say no more. Because y'all are studious, you know, learn. A way to be incorporated into the body of Christ, the church. The body, remember knows that? The body of Christ, comma, the church. So the body of Christ is the church. Okay. And just because it was just interesting, I'm just going to throw this to you. So baptism foreshadows some Old Testament stuff. You know that?
Oh, yeah.
The Old Testament, read it too. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Read the Gospels. Oh, by the way, Isaiah 53, read that when you get a chance.
Yeah.
It's a gospel. Just old school. All right. Creation. The world was formed from water. Remember that? Genesis 1, read chapter 1, creation. Noah's Ark. Water saves Noah and his family. Water, water. The Exodus. When the Israelites come out of Egypt. Crossing the Red Sea as a type of salvation and a new beginning.
Amen.
Your walk with Christ, you accept Christ, your baptism into a new life, a new beginning, a fresh start.
Amen.
And I suggest you take it and run with it.
Amen.
Do something with it.
Come on.
What I like what Charlie says, there's no retirement.
That's right.
Now, you might not do the things you used to be able to do. Right, Tommy? Maybe you can't run as fast as you used to. Maybe you don't, you know. But there's something you can do.
Oh, yeah.
There's something you can do.
That's right.
Sit in your recliner with a phone. Go through. You know, I said I made it. I popped off last week. You're stuck in your phone anyway. Your face is buried up in it. Make some positive use of it every now and then.
Amen.
All right. Scripture is clear that it is grace through faith alone. Okay? Not by works. Okay? You're not saved by works, but you're saved to do works. Be proactive. Go do something. So we got that established. We had that sermon too. But grace, you got to recognize that you need Jesus, that you can't do it. That's, you know, so he, by his grace, he provided that for you. So since he's done that, now you're going to do the walk with Christ and you're going to do the baptism. You're going to do the obedience stuff. Misunderstanding the purpose of baptism can lead to a false sense of assurance. It's not fire insurance. Baptism is not meant for, let me move on. Baptism is not meant for. Let me tell you what it's not meant for, which gives us a better clear answer of what it is for. We've been discussing it, but number one, it's not for earning salvation.
Amen.
Or forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
That happens first.
That's right.
Okay? The Bible explicitly states that salvation is a gift from God received through faith, not by human works, including baptism. Sign of obedience. I like what Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 tells us. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God.
Amen.
Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You want to put that in terms for you? You can't do it. Don't try. Without Christ. Don't brag about it because you ain't done nothing to brag about.
Amen.
Unless you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then as for a witness and a testimony, be proud that you're a Christian.
Oh, yeah.
Be happy about it.
Yeah.
Share it with somebody. Yeah. Don't brag in sense of self-entitlement. Because
yeah.
Self didn't do nothing.
Right.
Yeah. And Titus 3, 4 through 7 also mentions that God saved us. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ooh, good stuff. Good stuff. I think, you know, but it applies to me too. If we realize what Jesus really done for us, what he left behind, to come down here for us.
Amen.
And not just what we call the good people. He did it for everybody.
Everybody.
Good, yes, my favorite. Good, the bad, and the ugly people.
Amen.
Not ugly physically. I'm talking about ugly being a bad person. Because some people don't know. It's not a magical ritual. We talk about it don't save you. It's not a magical ritual. We know, I preach and teach this a lot. We get hung up on tradition sometimes.
Yep.
Because my mama done it, because my daddy done it. Because the church did that. That's the rules. It don't guarantee you an earthly problem-free life. You're still going to have some situations. You're still going to have some problems. But the difference is, Christ is walking right there beside you. You need to avoid false assurance. It prevents individuals from believing that external action has saved them. We talked about that. It don't. So don't think, I got baptized. I'm good to go. What did you do the first part? What's the question should be? Have you accepted the Lord? And it clarifies obedience. It's not a means of salvation, not a ritual that saves without faith, and not merely a tradition. Salvation comes by grace through faith. Baptism follows as obedience. So just to wrap it up for you, baptism is a command to obey. It's a symbol of transformation, a declaration of faith, and a testimony of a new life. If we put baptism in a perspective like that, and think about, and we need to share that with other people. There's a lot, I'm telling you, I'm probably preaching to the choir on the most part here, but there's a lot of people who think all you got to do is get baptized, a physical baptism. They think you can get baptized and I'm good to go. I can do what I want to, when I want to, how I want to. I'm good to go. But it's not, don't work that way. You got to have the first thing first. First things first. I like that. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5:17, then I will shut up, tells us, therefore, if anyone in Christ, the new creation has come. Not if, it has come. The old has gone and the new is here. If you fall in, if you fit that category, you're good to go. I ask you to go share it with somebody, your testimony. Go out there and witness to somebody, the ones that don't have. If you don't have that, it's simple. Let me tell you how simple it is. All you got to do here in a minute, when we play a song of invitation, I'm going to stand down here in front, and I can't do nothing, but I can point you in the direction you need to go. If you need Christ, your Lord and Savior, just come up here. I know it's hard to walk in front of a crowd. I got it. I understand it. But all you got to do is say something along the lines, I want Jesus. I need Jesus. And I take it from there. I got it. I get you there. I get you in that direction, what Jesus can do for you. So y'all stand to your feet. Daryl plays a song of invitation. If you need to pray, do it where you're at. Whatever you need to do, don't leave this house, this building, until you get things right. If you need to just rededicate and get your life back on track, you ain't got to come up here. You can do it right there where you're standing. Amen. Jesus is all, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Amen. He can be anywhere, anytime. Dear Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here in your house and hear your word, Lord. Just guide us and give us strength that we need, Lord, to make decisions. If decisions haven't been made that we need to make, Lord, just be with the ones that, again, is on a prayer list. We mentioned today we uplift each and every one of them to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day.